Let's go out to the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years, where we find our friend and yours, Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette. Read his Steelers stuff at postgazette.com. Ray, brought to you by LGKG Injury Lawyers. That's LGKG Injury Lawyers, 7 locations in the Pittsburgh region. They'll take your personal injury case personally. LGKG.com. Ray, I'll say this much for City Limits. When it comes time to correct something, he does it right away. He honored you by giving you your song, didn't he?
I know. You didn't even have to ask this week, Joe, so that's good. He's on the ball.
Have you developed a nice relationship with City Limits so far? Would you say it's blossoming right now?
I have. We talk about his announcing schedule for both high schools and his Division III slate every week. So
yeah.
I'm a big football fan, so I try to follow along.
Did you know that Ray played at Keystone Oaks?
I knew that he was the Keystone Oaks guy.
Where did he play in college?
Yeah, I think I know the answer to this, too.
Go ahead and tell him, Ray.
As soon as you say it, I'm going to get really upset. It wasn't Marietta, was it?
No, and you just... Go ahead, Ray. Where'd you play?
It was not Holy Cross.
Holy Cross.
I've heard that how many times, and I forgot.
I know.
I'm sorry, okay. Ray.
Here we go,
it's
Ray.
It's easy to forget.
Yeah, it is. Well, no, it's not. Listen... Anybody who plays college sports at any level, I have a ton of respect for. My brother Johnny played football at Brockport. My wife is from Brockway, Pennsylvania. He played at Brockport, and then he played at Buff State, which is cool, right? I mean, any college sport, anywhere at any level, I have tremendous respect for people who do that, and for you at Holy Cross.
There you go. Buffalo State. What's that? Division III?
I think so, yeah. I think it's Division III.
Maybe we could have Austin call one of their games.
I'll do it. Sign me up.
I think we should. We got a big game in Indy, Ray. A very big game. In your opinion, what's the biggest storyline of the week with the Steelers? Is it something injury-related, quarterback-related? What's the big story of the week?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, Joe, the quarterbacks, I mean, we had Arthur Smith yesterday. I think he was asked one question about a quarterback, and it was at the very end of his news conference. So I think people are kind of catching on to the idea that until Russell Wilson is a full participant in practice, you know, we're just going to march forward with Justin Fields. I do think the injuries, you know, the Steelers have to prove they can withstand these injuries to Alex Highsmith. Nick Kirby's going to get a chance. I think he's an excellent player, but – that obviously affects their depth. And, you know, people aren't talking about Corey Trice being down, but they like Corey Trice. Now he's gone for a month, and they're going to have to make do with either James Pierre or Darius Rush as their number three corner. So their depth is being tested a little bit, you know, for the first time this season, especially on defense, and we'll see if they can overcome that.
Is Roman Wilson going to play in this game? I keep talking to people out and about, and one of their first questions is he going to play? People want to see him on the field.
I don't get the sense that he is, Joe. You know, Mike kind of alluded to this on Tuesday at his news conference. It just takes a lot of time to get back when you miss like a month or more from an injury. And when you consider he's a rookie, it's really compounded. So I think Roman Wilson is going to get a shot this year. But we saw what they did last week. They didn't feel a need to dress him. They dressed four tight ends instead, including Rodney Williams, who was a practice squad call-up. And I just think they feel very comfortable either dressing four receivers and four tight ends or just dressing four receivers and giving another position to Danny Smith on special teams. So until Roman Wilson can go out there and prove he earns a spot through practice, I don't think we're going to see him anytime soon.
So, Ray, Dan Graziano, Jeremy Fowler floated out a couple of names, Christian Kirk, DeAndre Hopkins, as players who could be available at the deadline for the Steelers and other teams to look at. Do you think that could be a realistic possibility?
Yeah, I mean, listen, the Steelers are always going to be linked to receivers because they are pretty thin after George Pickens. And, you know, if they get in a situation where late in the season. They're still in contention for the playoffs. They're going to want to add more depth. So, you know, the Hopkins one is intriguing just because he has a better pedigree than a guy like Christian Kirk. To me, Kirk is, you know, pretty much a slot guy. I know he could play outside too, but, you know, with the Jaguars, he's just kind of a small, shifty guy that, you know, he's produced a little bit, but I wouldn't get as excited about him as I would have got about a guy like DeAndre Hopkins. So we'll see where that goes, but I don't get the strong sense that Omar is wheeling and dealing just yet. I think that's probably going to be later next month near Halloween as we get closer to the trade deadline.
Ray Fittipaldo on the Fan Hotline. Read his stuff at postgazette.com. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. So, Ray, this game, we were just talking about it, how it almost adds up too much for the Steelers, and yet Vegas always seems to know something, and they only have them as a 1.5-point favorite against a team with a quarterback who completes less than 50% of his passes, throws it to the other team a lot, banged up a little on the offensive line, and a defense that can't stop the run. Do you think it's going to be close?
Yeah. I do think it's going to be close. Listen, they went in there last year, Joe. They lost 30-13. I know Gardner Minshew was the quarterback, and you can't really draw a lot of things from that game. Jonathan Taylor didn't even play in that game. But the way the Steelers play, you know, every game is going to be a close game, even when they're on the road. I think they're a better team than the Colts. But anytime you go on the road, Joe, you know, I think, you know, the odds are going to be stacked against you. So I get it. I think they should be a favorite in that game. But when you play 13-10, 16-13 types of games every single week, you know, I think the point spreads are going to be reflected in the manner that they are this week. I don't think that's going to change whether it's the Cowboys next week or the Raiders the week after. There's going to be all kinds of close point spreads for the Steelers, I think, throughout the entire season.
But do you think that maybe the willingness to use the middle of the field, was it more matchup-based? Is it more comfort with Justin Fields as of last week? Is that something we could see continue as the season goes on?
You could, but did you see the way that Los Angeles was deploying Derwin James and their safeties in that game? They were run-blitzing early. They were taking away all the running lanes. So when teams are doing that, eventually, you do have to go over the middle and take chances and you know, throw the ball where the safeties aren't. So I thought the Steelers were selective when they do that. I thought Arthur Smith called a really, really good game. Yeah, it didn't look pretty early, but, you know, he called the right plays in the second half, and Justin and those receivers executed really, really well. The running game got going late, which was really good to see. So, you know, we're still not at the point where this offense – is clicking on all cylinders, but you do see incremental improvement. Like the running game, being able to run out the clock, the final 5 minutes of the clock, that is huge. You know, receivers like Calvin Austin making a big play to give your team a 10-point lead, huge. Those were things we weren't seeing last season with Matt Canada. Yeah, the numbers are probably similar, points per game, even yardage, stuff like that, but I'm really encouraged by some of the other stuff, kind of the intangible stuff that Arthur Smith and his players are doing this year.
Ray, how does the division of labor work in place of Alex Highsmith this week?
Yeah, I think you're going to see Nick Herbig get starter snaps. So, you know, probably he and TJ, you know, I think TJ's been playing like around 85, Alex too. So Nick's going to get a ton of snaps. And then you'll see DeMarvin Leal sub in for both. So it might not be a lot depending on what kind of game it is. You know, it could be, you know, 12, 15, 20 snaps for Leal, but he's going to be the number three guy this week. And it's a huge opportunity for him. You know, he's a guy, third round pick, a lot of hope that he would turn into a player. Hasn't really found his niche as a defensive lineman, as a 3 or a 5 technique. Now he gets to try outside linebacker. And, you know, we were talking to Terrell Austin about him yesterday. Austin has no issues with him going and playing outside exclusively. So even though he's a different body type. Austin is very confident that he'll go in there and do a good job on Sunday.
Ray, Mason McCormick came in a plethora of times in the Charger game and performed pretty well.
Plethora?
Yeah.
You like that word, Ray?
That's an SAT word.
That's a big word.
Yeah. Is there, with the possibility that Isaac Seumalo could return this week, if not maybe next week, also his status, and do you think McCormick could be deployed a little bit more in the offense as an extra lineman?
So Seumalo is not going to play. We'll get confirmation on that later today. Maybe the Cowboys game, you know, it's probably the first time we'll see him. We'll see how that goes next week. I wouldn't be surprised at all if Mason McCormick starts. I think we got a preview of that last week when he rotated in. Mason McCormick and Spencer Anderson are probably pretty even right now. They might even think more highly of Mason McCormick. But part of the reason they're doing this, guys, is the swing tackle position. Spencer Anderson can play all over the offensive line. If you dress him, he can be a backup guard or backup tackle, and he can play pretty much anywhere for you as a reserve. So you look at it however you want, but if you think Spencer Anderson and Mason McCormick are similar players, it makes all the sense in the world to start McCormick in guard and then have Spencer Anderson be one of your top three reserves on Sunday.
We want you back with us to talk more and more Pittsburgh sports out there. Don't be a statistic. Get your heart checked by the experts at UPMC. Ray, do you think this is a weekend where Najee, they up the carries, up the touches? He gets, 25, 30 touches overall, or is that too many?
Well, what do you have? He had around 20 last week, I want to say. I think with no Jaylen Warren this week, I think we could see him maybe up around 20. I don't think you're going to see 25 or 30, though. They like Cordero Patterson a lot. I don't think they have any issues with giving him, you know, instead of his usual 4 or 5, give him 8 or 10. And then you're likely to see a practice squad call up guy like Aaron Champlin or Jonathan Ward come up, mostly for special teams, but also to be a number three running back in this game. So I wrote about it earlier in the week. You know, Joe, you know, we talked in May, you know, why didn't the Steelers pick up the fifth-year option? Their reason was, we want to see Najee Harris in this offense before we commit money to him. Well, I don't know about you guys, but he looks really good in this offense. So to me, going forward, is that something you want to revisit after the season? Can you get a deal done with him at a reasonable number so he's your feature back once again in 2025?
That reminds me of something, Ray, and I made a mistake on the air yesterday when, for some reason, I had it in my mind that the Steelers had made an exception to their forever policy of not negotiating, not signing somebody in the middle of a season. I don't know why, but I thought Ben had, but that was not true. I got that wrong. But the question is, should they adhere to that policy moving forward, or would it behoove them, with a guy like Najee, or maybe especially Justin Fields before the price rises, to revisit that policy?
Yeah, I mean, I don't even think, like, I always tell you guys, well, Omar and Andy are running a different ship. That's true. That's very true. They are doing things differently inside that building. But when it comes to that mindset, that's an ownership thing. And that's the way the Rooneys have done business over the years, whether you go back to the Chief or to Dan, or now to Art the Second. So I don't think it's going to change. You know, Omar can maybe give his input, but even Omar has been on the record that they're not going to change that mind. You know, with Justin Fields, maybe it would if you figure out he's the guy, but we don't even know if he's the guy yet, Joe. I mean, it's a three-game sample. Russell Wilson presumably will be back soon. Presumably he's going to get an opportunity to show what he can do. So to me, the quarterback position is still very much to be decided, and I think you can make that call tail end of January, February, first week of March before free agency gets here. I don't think there's a hurry to do anything, you know, November or December during the season.
Ray, the Russell Wilson thing is odd and puzzling to me, because it seems like he's doing the exact same things in practice that he's done the last 3 weeks. Like, is there no progression? Is there no change in his status with this injury? I'm just so confused by everything.
Well, just because he's listed as limited for like the last 3 weeks or a month doesn't mean like there are different ways of being limited, I guess. You know, if you do everything, you're full, but there's different stages, Austin, of being limited. So I do think he's done more this week. Obviously, not enough to be the starter. You know, I don't have a great sense of when it's going to be. Maybe it's next week against Dallas, before Dallas. He gets to be full, and then maybe Mike is going to have to address that in some way before the Cowboys game. Maybe it's the week after for the Raiders game. What I do know is they want to take time with this injury. They don't want to see another setback, because if you have a second setback, then you pretty much have to IR him, right, and see if you can get it right and not even have him practice. So this is a really important stretch for Russell in his rehab. I just think they're being really careful, and they don't want to bring him back until they absolutely have to.
Ray, the running game's off to a pretty good start. I notice Amanda Godsey for the Johnstown Tribune Democrat. I think she does a good job picking out important stuff. She has their rushing yards through three games this year and the previous three. Previous three were 53 yards a game in 21, 90 yards a game in 22, 67 yards a game last year, 131 yards a game, and you could argue this is before they really get going. What do you read into that early in the season?
Yeah, they're 12th in rushing. They're not terribly efficient. Like, their yards per carry isn't, I don't even think it's in the top half of the league, but you know what I was talking about earlier, Joe, the intangibles, the running attempts, the time of possession, keeping your defense off the field. You know, I think that's been, you know, an unspoken part of this team's success this year.
Yeah.
The defense is really, really good because the offense is possessing the ball more, and those guys are fresher. They don't have to be on the field a ton. So it's called complementary football. You know, the offensive numbers aren't great. I mean, I could sit here and make an argument, Joe, that the run game efficiency numbers aren't good enough, but they're doing enough other good things in the running game, the way they possess the ball, to be a winning team, and that's really all that matters at this point in the season.
Wonder Twin, may I engage Ray in a game of free association?
You very well may, shall.
Najee over, under 23.5 touches in this game.
I'll go under.
TJ Watt over, under 1.5 sacks.
Under.
Nick Herbig over, under 1.5 sacks.
Oh, I'll go under. He got two last week.
Mount Washington over, under 0.5 touchdown catches.
I'll go under.
Minka over, under 0.5 interceptions.
They've been avoiding him. I'll go under again.
Are we going to be saying after the game that DeMarvin Leal should be playing more? Or, I guess that's why he hasn't really made an imprint in a few years.
I'll go, but I think that's going to be more because Nick Herbig and TJ were really good instead.
Final score of the game?
I'm going to go 19-16 Steelers. Another nail-biter for the fans on Sunday.
If they're losing in the third quarter and have the ball with a fourth down at the Colts 39, will Mike Tomlin punt again like he did in last year's game, or let Chris Boswell, the greatest long-range kicker in NFL history, try one from 56 yards indoors?
Shoot, he let him try from 62 on grass last week.
Exactly, yes.
He'll let him go from 66, I think, if he could.
Man, I agree with that. That was something last year to witness. Anthony Richardson, over, under 1.5 picks.
I've seen some of their clips. I'll go over.
Jonathan Taylor. Now let me phrase the question this way. Who has more rushing yards, Jonathan Taylor or Najee?
Taylor.
Over, under 75.5.
I'll go over.
Justin Fields, over, under 9.5 rushing attempts.
Under.
Over, under 0.5 touchdowns.
Rushing touchdowns.
Yes.
Under.
Bengals dropped to 0-4 with a loss to the Fighting Andy Daltons.
That would be poetic, but I'll say no.
Josh Allen is the best player in the NFL right now.
No, I'm still going Mahomes.
Even three games into the season? So if you had an MVP vote,
yes,
right now, who would it be?
Oh, if I had an MVP vote, I'm going with Josh Allen. But if I'm talking about trying to win another Super Bowl, a guy who gets it done, doesn't always look pretty, I'm still going with Mahomes.
Limits thinks that Sam Darnold is the MVP and will be the MVP. Do you think Limits is crazy, or do you think Limits is right on target?
Well, I said right now he's the MVP.
You said he would be the MVP at the end of the year.
Did I say he will be?
Yes.
All right, I'll stick by it.
Player.
I still think Josh Allen might have a good chance, but I'll stick by it, yeah, for sake of argument.
If you think that, you should run down to Bet Rivers and make that bet. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it's a nice story. He's getting an opportunity because of an injury, but I would be surprised if the Vikings keep this up for the entire season.
Ray, you're a wonderful man. Thank you for taking the time.
All right, guys. Enjoy your weekend.
Who's driving to Indy?
I am driving. I'm getting a car, and I'm taking Jason Mackey with me.
Just you and Mackey?
Just me and Mackey. Jerry went out today to do some golfing at Muirfield Village. I bet you wish you were there, Joe.
Oh, man, do I wish I was there. So it's you, Mackey, and Dulac?
Yeah, Backo's coming too, but Backo's not driving with us.
And will you go out for steaks tomorrow night?
We could, or there's this little Italian restaurant called Iaria's that we always frequent as well. So it might be probably going to be Iaria's rather than St. Elmo's.
Just don't add a D to that restaurant's name. Thank you, Ray.
All right, see you, Joe.
Iaria's? Limits, have you ever heard of anything like this? Does that sound like an appetizing name to you?
No. Let's
you
could
and
easily
I
get
on,
misconstrued.
Let's you and I head on out to Iaria's tonight? I don't know. I don't know about that one. No disrespect to the people there. All right, I'm calling an audible here. We're going to do Bechtold's Breakdown at the top of the hour. And this is a weekly feature. Every Friday at noon, at high noon, is Bechtold's Breakdown. And it's more or less replacing the Wheel of Ball. Is it not, Bechtold?
Pretty much, yeah. It's a staple from the morning show that we've carried over to here that has been on Fridays. It's always a Friday staple, and we have fun from throughout the week.
And it's going to be very exciting. NFL last night. And this, we're going to go from this right into Artie Smith quotes. Listen, on a Thursday night, I'm all in on almost any football game to watch, any NFL game. But that thing last night was unwatchable. I had no interest in it. Like, I can't help if I'm either interested in watching something or I'm not. And almost all the time, maybe a late season crappy game on a Thursday night I won't watch. I couldn't watch it. And not only was it one really bad team, and I think the Cowboys aren't very good, and it wasn't exciting offensively, but more than anything, it was the flags. And I haven't seen any numbers, I probably should have by now, on how many penalties are getting called in the NFL this year compared to usual. It just seems like more than ever, and I stopped watching, and I know at least one person agreed with me, and that was the guy calling the game on Amazon Prime, and that was Al Michaels.
You're kidding.
False start. Offense number 30. 5-yard penalty. Fourth down.
It's the eighth penalty now, right?
No, it's the 147th.
What was that shot of you and Frank Gifford, 1986?
Yeah.
You've called a bunch of Monday night football games,
right?
Thursday night and Sunday night.
I don't know.
Is this a world record for you in first half laundry?
Absolutely.
I think it's got to be
question.
Up there.
Without question. You're going to need some new flags to throw in the second half. These ones are filthy. Angers kick. We'll bounce inside the five.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, there's another flag. In fact, there are two. We wouldn't lie to you.
That is great stuff. Listen, I've said a million times that there's nothing that can ruin the NFL. You can't screw it up. It's like the NCAA basketball tournament. You could cut that back down to, 32 teams or raise it up to 200. or do anything else. You can't ruin it. You can't ruin the NFL. They can do whatever they want, make whatever rules they want, etc. And people can threaten that they'll no longer watch, but they can't screw it up. But that doesn't mean there aren't things very wrong with the game that the game should seek to fix. And this is one of them. We've reached a point where it's just one flag after another in a lot of games, including 2 weeks ago. The Steelers game was marred by this. There are so many rules for these people to keep track of that it's impossible. And the games are becoming, too many of them, becoming unwatchable because of this. Do something, Roger Goodell and the owners and the competition committee. Please do something. You know, Major League Baseball has long ago ceded its place atop our sports hierarchy as America's game to the NFL. But I'll tell you this much. Rob Manfred, as much as I don't like him, and Major League Baseball made a sea change to their sport a couple years ago. And it has really, I think, revolutionized the way people watch games. That is the pitch clock. I just saw a stat. Listen to this one. 9-inning games of 3 hours, 3.5 hours or longer. 2021, they played 391 of those 3.5 hour games. 22, 232. Then the big change, 2023, nine such games. And 2024, seven. They've gone from 391 unwatchable baseball games, and I consider anything from a movie to anything else. If you're going 3.5 or longer, you're unwatchable. 391 such games to seven this season. Somebody in the NFL needs to take a look at this real soon because it stinks watching these games. I don't know if there were a lot of people like me last night. I turned off an NFL game because it was unwatchable. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I didn't turn it off, but it does just get so utterly ridiculous when it's flag after flag after flag. And sometimes it's flags for things that shouldn't even be flagged. When other times, when TJ Watt's getting dragged to the ground, there's not a flag called. Like, I pointed that Steeler game in Denver for multiple different calls where you're like, really? That's the call?
Right.
And flags, I did look it up. They are higher this year, the amount of flags that are being thrown than previous years over the last 2 years.
Not surprised.
It continues to get higher and higher.
Part of me doesn't even blame the on-field officials. It's the tome of a rule book that they have to interpret every week, and they're getting graded on.
And all these formation penalties with offensive linemen that are like a half an inch off the line of scrimmage that are getting called, like, really?
Change that rule. Make it six people. I just can't. It's borderline unwatchable
now,
at times.
They're trying to do is with the tackles. They're trying to prevent, because there were a lot of times the cheese tackles and a couple others. They jump right at the head nod of the center.
I know.
And would get like a quarter of a second head start.
You know what I watched instead last night? Limits.
What's that?
A movie with Michael Douglas and Diane Keaton that I can no longer remember what the name of it was. But Michael Douglas's son was going to jail, so he passed off his daughter to Michael Douglas. So Michael Douglas was the grandfather, and he was a very cynical man. He had lost his wife. He was very embittered, but he fell in love with Diane Keaton, and they became the de facto, well, he is the grandfather. She became the grandmother, I guess, of the kid, and they took care of the little girl. It was a very heartwarming story of a man like Ron Cook who was once embittered and then opened his heart. Have you ever seen it?
No.
You should.
I like your description. I watched Suits after the game last night.
What was the name of the movie? Check the text line at 412-928-9370.
I'm sure they'll deliver the goods in a moment here.
What was the name of the movie I watched last
night? You don't remember the name of the movie you watched last night?
No, I saw the movie and then I started watching it. I didn't memorize the name.
Well, shouldn't you know what you're watching?
My wife cried at it. She was crying through the whole thing. I said, what do you cry? I understand the ending is sad, but she was crying at random parts of the movie that didn't seem cryable.
Are you good with people's names?
No.
Like they tell you their name and you forget it a minute later?
The guy who just came in here has been working here for 10 years.
You forgot his name?
Andrew Burnchick. But I've called him Cornelius for 10 years.
Of course you have. Just like Ron, okay now in the hallway with me every time he saw me. Probably doesn't know my name.
Hi, Andrew, it was okay now?
It was okay now.
You should change your name to that.
It could have been, all right, Ron.
Okay now, Bechtold. I don't know Cornelius's name. He's never here. Is he your buddy from Waynesburg?
So he is a Waynesburg guy. He worked at the front desk a lot, did some stuff with sales. And now he's moving on, and his brother actually is the quarterback for Allegheny football. I've called one of his brother's games, and I'll call two more of them.
He's a legend. I need to know. Now I can't move on with the show until I know the name of the movie. Has anybody weighed in?
Nobody on the text line has weighed in yet. Your description of the movie must not be good enough.
How can I explain it any clearer? Michael Douglas,
I don't know,
Diane
by giving
Keaton.
The name title?
All right. And Diane Keaton. I suppose we could Google it, couldn't we? And so it goes. That was the name of the movie. Thank you, Limits. Give me an Artie Smith clip before we get to Bechtold's breakdown.
Ah, there's the texter. So it all came in at once.
It was a tearjerker at the end. It was quite happy and sad, if you know what I mean. Bittersweet, the word from yesterday.
Yes, our word of the day. Arthur Smith on Fields and Arthur Smith on Patterson. Let's start with Arthur Smith on Justin Fields against the blitz.
We were talking about earlier, Justin's numbers against the blitz are way better than they were in Chicago. Is that, do the numbers tell the true story there? What is Justin doing so well whenever he's dealing with pressure?
Well, there's a lot going on, you know. Some of it, how we wanted to attack the defense. When you're able to keep them off track, they're not keeping us off track, it opens up so many different things you can do schematically. If we were able to, sometimes if they're sitting there playing the run and they're trying to bring five and however they want to cover it, you're going to really open up the second level of the defense, which makes some of those throws easier. And then what you're really evaluating too is just as a drop back, how are you doing? How are you seeing that as people try to pack the paint? I've seen a lot of growth from them there. I do think what helps anybody in any job of the reps, and as you're winning, you can see quarterbacks in this league, their confidence growing. When you put it all on one player, especially a young player, and you're putting the ball in his hands and saying, all right, you got to drop back 45, 60 times, that's tough. It's tough for any quarterback. So as the offense gets more in sync, it certainly opens up more things. He's doing a really nice job.
When you watch a quarterback and he's decisive and appears to know exactly where to go immediately and it works, that's part coaching. And that's probably why Justin Fields went on Cam's podcast this week. And when Cam said better coaching in Pittsburgh or Chicago, you don't expect him to say Chicago. That wouldn't go over well. But he added, not even close, it's Pittsburgh. And that's a product of it right there. And you know it by watching him work from last week with his decisiveness. If you're going to be decisive, you have to know where people are. And that, to me, is a function of the design, pretty obviously.